This is like real. You guys are like real pervert documentarians now that you want to start recording before a guy can even tell you what's going on in his life. All right. Welcome to Western Kabuki, everybody. Breaking news. Marcos has swallowed a bug. Marcos,
I didn't swallow it, right? Because if I would have swallowed it, I would have thugged it out and like, well, I ate a bug. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a problem for me.
What happened was,
I will get in the pod. I will eat the bugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready for that, right? But so me and my girlfriend are talking. Like, I got this kind of weird living situation where my little brother lives behind me, and he just gets mad about stuff. He gets like booty tickled about stuff. So he's like, he came in hot, started yelling to me about something. And I was like, hey man, like at the end of the day, I don't know what you're talking about. I just got home from work. I'm trying to come home, right? And so I get into the house, and as I'm into the house, he's like talking to me. I'm like coming upstairs, and like a moth flies right into my mouth, and I inhale it. I didn't swallow it. I inhaled it. It went into my like esophagus, and I kept coughing and I couldn't get it out. So I started just coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing, and I was like throwing up and coughing and throwing up and coughing. And this happened at like five o'clock, and I thought to myself, like, I'm gonna miss this fucking podcast. my thought wasn't like I inhaled a bug. My thought was like, how are you gonna riff now?
How are you gonna riff? The riffs are over. Shit.
And I'm like dying, and my girlfriend is like dying laughing. Right, she's just pointing and laughing and being like, she's like, just swallow the bug. And I'm like, I breathed it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't say anything. So I'm
I hope you permanently have just dropped an octave from now on. That's kind of awesome. That's actually a pretty good
superpower, honestly.
Yeah, I'm gonna start my own VTuber blog, like Corpse Husband, and be like, "Hey, what's up?" It's just be like a huge fat guy, and no one knows who I am because I got this deep baritone. Oh my god,
incredible. What a day it's been for you so far.
Yeah, I'm rethinking my entire podcast. We're not going to do silly content anymore. We're just going to read horrifying things.
We're just going to talk about bugs.
No, I was thinking like the only podcasts that do really well are like true crime podcasts, but you have to have a deep voice and you have to be spooky about it. Like, then she was murdered on the 16th of January. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you really blow up a podcast.
Yeah, I feel like that voice. Kind of the like the millennial speak, it pains me to say, but like the Heck and Dogger types also do pretty well at true crime. Because there was like the Murderinos podcast. It's like the most disrespectful fucking thing.
Yeah,
you never heard about that? Murderinos?
Murderinos.
No. What's that? No. Murderinos. So they did.
My Favorite Murder is the name of the podcast. And it was two.
Was that that
my yeah, two comedians. Murder.
They did an episode about somebody that I didn't know her, but like I had met her. You know what I mean? They didn't. And so it was like how fucking crazy it is to have like somebody that you know who was grotesquely murdered. And then like, oh, what's up, Murderinos? You know, like,
the thing they said at the end of every episode was stay sexy and don't get murdered.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's wild.
It is shocking to me, June, that you do not know that show. That's one of the most popular podcasts in history.
Despite being very online, I don't really consume that much media, like at all. I hardly listen or watch anything.
Funny how we have like gaps in what we know. It's like, yeah. I can tell you all about this, you know, Starseed shit and everything, but like, it occurs to me today, I don't know who Kate Middleton is. And
I don't either.
Yeah, well, everybody's talking about Kate Middleton.
She's somebody.
Could be an actress, a tennis player, a British royalty person.
She's married to Prince William. She is the next in line to be the Queen of England.
Oh, okay.
Usually when I don't know who somebody is like that, it's usually related to that British pervert shit.
I mean, it's fucked up that you'd ever have to know that. The fact that the monarchy still exists is just a big problem.
We fought the whole war over that.
I know a lot about the monarchy, but out of spite, so I can like better make fun of British people. You know what I'm saying? I study a lot of European history, not because I'm interested in it, but because like all those like
return
guys, the marble statue guys, they absolutely get completely angry every time you bring up like the Moors or like the fact that they got conquered a bunch of times. You know what I'm saying? Like they just cannot stand. Yeah. Like,
people got so mad when everyone was roasting when the queen died. Like there was British people were so mad. Oh yeah.
The 9/11 jokes were so funny. They were like, would it be as funny if we made fun of 9/11? We're like, yes, actually.
We already are doing that. Yes, dude. Come on, catch up. We've been doing that for years.
Well, fuck. Welcome to Western Kabuki. little impromptu intro there. Not exactly what I think we had planned, but that's how this goes when we bring on the homie Marcos. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm just a complete psychopath. What's up, everyone? I'm a. Yeah. So I've had to like cool it on my own personal podcast. I have to cool it on this one a little bit too. Be a little more tame than normal. Because I work for Uncle Sam now. I'm a postman.
Whoa. Oh my God. Congratulations.
Yeah, I heard that. That's good. Thanks.
Yeah.
They're going to come for you if you say some crazy shit.
Yeah, I can't. There's a lot of stuff I can't say. But like, it's wild to me because I'm not allowed to like pick a side. And it's just so like they tell you that immediately. Like, hey, listen, if you work at the post office, you're not allowed to like ever talk about your personal politics like on a public place ever. And I'm like, oh, my personal politics are burn all the shit to the ground. So I think I'm all right. Like, because they're talking about how like you can't endorse one way or another. Right.
Oh, they don't want you talking about Trump. Mailman?
Yeah. If you're a mailman, you can't endorse someone one way or the other, like publicly ever under any circumstance. Like they don't like you're allowed to like vote and vote for whoever you want. But you are not allowed to publicly endorse anyone if you work for the USPS.
You can't go to a rally.
Nope, you can get in trouble for that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can, not to say that it can't happen, but like it happens, but you can't. Like if that person, that's why, you know, like you have like the Plumber Pete or whatever the fuck was, do you remember that? Like the, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
no.
There was like early, like pre-Trump before you had to find the most racist guy to convince other people.
It was Joe the Plumber, right? Wasn't his name?
That Joe the
name?
Plumber, mm-hmm. That's Joe the Plumber, Plumber Pete. Plumber Pete's much better.
It's way better.
Plumber Pete, if your name, listen, if you want to run for the Republican Party and you need a guy to come up with insane ads for you, like hit up your boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I actually think that's a pretty good rule. At least like on social media and at work, if like I never had to know what anybody else believed, I would be so happy. I never want to know that.
Yeah.
One of the worst things. And like I love everyone's opinions. I love saying my opinions, but we know too much about each other sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's too much that we know that we just shouldn't know.
The problem with that is though, is what happens if you outlaw it, then they're going to come up with these like splinter cell group chats and then the secret water cooler type of conversation. But, so, you know, especially when you look like I do, people just assume that you're racist anyway. Like, it sucks.
Actually, it's mad tight though. Like this is what I've learned about joining the post office, right? Is that the one thing all of us have in common is we all hate the federal government. Mm-hmm. Right, all of us who are working for it and collecting a paycheck from the federal government absolutely hate the federal government. And like in a lot of ways, I feel like, you know what it was? On my first day when I went in there to go meet everyone, I really did feel like I found my people, because it was like this place is like the Marine Corps for guys who really like jazz and hate like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and hate, like, have just uncontrollable beef with like municipal like rules and stuff. You
know, so I love people like that just like have so much knowledge of just local government type stuff.
But like, but
there's so
mad
many people
about
in
it.
Chicago like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild how like I was like, oh, because I get there and the first thing the guy tells me is like, yeah, we got to carry these scanner arounds because Big Brother needs to make sure that we're not taking 5 minutes to take a dump. And I'm like, dude, hey, brother, say you're speaking my language. And he goes, you listen to Bitches Brew? I'm like, you know it, dude. Hey, listen. You know about Fila Kuti, man? Let's get into this, dude.
You're about to discover a new world of guys.
Yeah. There's a whole type of guy. Like, yeah, I love it.
Marcos, before we get into the main subject of our episode, I think there were some TikTok treasures that you brought to my door like a cat leaves a dead bird.
I love being I feel like I'm becoming everyone's plug for like insane TikTok
insane
shit.
TikToks, yeah.
Yeah, right. So a couple things that I discovered recently. The one that I've just completely loved, I talked about it on my podcast, is the quit yapping meta.
Oh, yeah. Right, which yeah. I want to pill us on the yapping meta.
Yeah. Okay. What is that about?
So I'm anti-yap pilled. I'm in this new era. And I know this is kind of crazy because I have a podcast and I just be yapping, you know?
Yeah, we're all yapping here.
Yeah. Yeah, so the quit yapping meta. So I was on TikTok scrolling, and anytime I'd see someone talking about anything like vaguely political or have anything about the news, and it didn't matter if it was on the right or on the left, it didn't really matter. Underneath it was an army of like literal children, actual like 14 to 12 to 11 years old kids saying, bro's over here yapping, bro, quit yapping, dog, stop yapping. And it was, it was used, or like, it would be like it would just straight spell out yapping, right? Like, and then like have like an emoji with like a hand on it. Right. And like, I didn't understand. I was like, did the word yapping change? Is it a different word now? Right. I had to look it up. And I went like deep into like the Urban Dictionary. Like I was on page 37 of, you know what I'm saying? Scrolling on yapping to see like, did I miss something? But no, it's the same. But like the meta is kids have figured out a way to completely shut people up when they're talking about anything, right? So people will have these like in-depth conversations with each other and like be talking about, well, not with each other, but like one-way conversations where they're like scolding you on TikTok about how you're not doing this or you should be doing this. And like a literal army of children will just be like, bro's over here yapping.
I can see how that works because like you could be like talking about like super passionate and someone's just like, oh, this motherfucker. That's like the same thing. It's just like, oh, well, fuck. Like, what do I say to that? Like any response to that feels like you're on the defensive immediately. Yeah. And they didn't say anything to you, but you're immediately on the defensive.
I saw a screenshot of someone replying to Elon Musk the other day saying quit yapping.
Yeah, quit yapping. Yeah, so quit yapping. So people started doing that. I've been doing that. I was on Teapot, and anytime someone would be like, you know, like AI is good and I'm going to trade my wife for a rapper, some kind of program that a friend and I are coding, and it's not weird that we know each other's like personal, you know, like how many times we could pump. That's all part of the data. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is good stuff and we need to keep having it. Right. And so like anytime they would have these, like there was another guy who was talking about how like the AI is inherently Catholic or something. And I would just quote tweet him with like, dog's over here yapping, dude.
That's overpowered. That is an overpowered response.
The quit yapping meta is very powerful, but the problem is that it's too powerful because it could be used against you. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, be aware.
I was just thinking that I could get completely bonked by the quit yapping meta.
Yeah, stop. You can't, if you have to, like, there's no response. You just have to keep moving on. You have to keep yapping. Yeah. That's the only way you can.
You can't
acquiesce to people who tell you to stop yapping. Or if you have, so, it's the terrorists of one.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that kind of ties into this that I found recently, and there's a nonverbal way to tell people to quit yapping, and it's beautiful.
This is the Newman Music Academy TikTok, by the way, Alex.
Is it all right if we go ahead and watch this?
Yeah.
It's five minutes long.
TikToks are 5 minutes long now?
You don't need five minutes. You can get the gist of what she's trying to get at.
Gotcha.
I think this mewing trend with students is probably going to be the final reason that I decide to never return to the classroom to teach ever again. If you're not familiar what mewing is, basically it's a gesture that kids are making towards other people that signal to that person that they don't care what they have to say, or they're too busy being silent doing the mewing technique to respond to them. It's basically just another way to be dismissive to somebody. The gesture stems from this technique where people are like thrusting their tongue inside of their mouth to like strengthen their jawline. If you haven't watched the documentary Open Wide on Netflix, you should definitely do yourself a favor and watch it, because the technique itself stems from some really problematic New Age orthodontic techniques, which also stems
from wild reach, by the way. Mewing
in the classroom and at school is that kids are using it as a way to be disrespectful to their teachers without their teachers understanding what it is they're doing and why they're doing it.
So just, I'm sorry to interrupt. So first of all, the kids are looks maxing, I guess. Is that what she's talking about?
Yeah, the kids are looks
maxing.
They want
to be the Chad, Wojak Chad guy.
Right. Okay. And then mewing is just literally making a meow sound in the middle of class. Right?
No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Silent. It's completely silent. In fact, I think I sent a video of what mewing looks like to, its use case.
All right. Can I stop that one and take a look at it real quick?
Yeah. If you want to go ahead.
So I've heard of this mewing thing, but I read that and I was just like, I don't understand. I don't know what this is. I'm not going to ever understand what this is. I'm just going to move on.
I think it's extremely funny. I love that children are devising. I'm on the forefront. I'm just on the forefront. I feel like I'm on the forefront of figuring out ways to like say fuck you to people in power. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I'm so proud of children. For the future, I feel like the future is in good hands. You know what I'm saying? Other people,
they're always innovating.
Yeah, the other people like look at the future and they have like this horrible, like, oh, everything's terrible, everything, blah, blah, blah. And like, I cannot wait for like a fucking, you know what it is? Like, you know, Joe Biden, if Joe Biden like hit him with the bye bye and then mute him, you know, during the Trump.
I was literally just thinking of that. Yeah. During a debate or something.
He would fucking win. It would be insane. Right. And seeing that kind of like, I don't know. I'm thinking about like ways to be disruptive that are not conventional. And I'm fascinated by that shit.
And wait, that's what mewing is? That's what that is?
Yeah, it's just, it's putting your lips and then pointing out to your jawline. And that's it.
that's all it is.
It's completely silent. So it's not even really like distracting. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's like a silent protest. It's a beautiful way to be like, nah, fuck you, but without having to say anything. And it's not like an obscene gesture by any means. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like the amount of rage that you could farm from a middle-aged person trying to teach you something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like someone yapping at you all day. Someone sitting there being like, actually, blah, blah, and you just, you know, hit them with that, be quiet.
Oh my God.
It's
the kids are all right. They're innovating.
The kids are all right. Yeah. It's beautiful. I personally, I'm a huge fan of it. I think we gotta accelerate this. I think we gotta figure out ways for kids to just shut us all up. You know what I mean? I think it's incredibly powerful. It's an incredibly powerful move.
Yeah. Holy shit. Looks maxing. That's the future, everyone. Get ready.
So I just want to see the what's it called? You guys can see the browser, right?
Yeah, that's yeah.
So I just want to watch this video. Okay, so
kid.
So it's a kid, he like shushes the teacher. And then he like points to his jawline and like runs his finger down his jawline.
Yeah.
And all that means is like, I don't respect you.
No, it doesn't even mean, it means like I'm mewing. I cannot answer you right now. I'm not going to break my, you're not worth my mewing streak break. Like I'm not going to break my mewing streak for you for this answer. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I have self-respect.
God. That's incredible.
That's
incredible.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
I read this whole article on parenting.com about this and how to talk to your kids about mewing. And it was very fucking funny.
It's the mewing epidemic.
It kind of is like teachers are the TikTok that we played earlier is one of several teachers that Marcos has sent explaining the mewing phenomenon and like just they're super frustrated because all these kids are doing this.
Yeah, it's the other guy was not really frustrated as more as he was just laughing like I can't these guys are he was more taking it the way I'm taking it, which is like it's funny to see it. New ways of kids being assholes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a beautiful thing.
I have a 9-year-old and every day he comes home with like some new illicit piece of information. And he like me, is way too delighted to keep it to himself. So he'll be like, Dad, you're not going to leave this. Edwin told me about what happens in the movie It. And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. And he's like, and there's like the clown bites off a kid's arm and he's like, we all float. And I'm like, okay, great. But then every once in a while he'll come home with like a new turn of phrase or like a new thing that he does. And like a couple, like last summer, I think, he came home from summer camp one day and anytime he wanted something from me, he'd be like, bruh. And I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry. That's just not going to fly. I can't do it.
There was someone in our Discord, and I can't remember the lore behind this. I'm so upset. that was like, there's this whole thing going on in my school where there's like a group of kids that are like making their whole thing flipping coins, and they call themselves Coin Boys. I'm trying to find it right now. There's someone in our server that like explained all this, and I gave them a special Coin Boy role.
Hell yeah. That slaps. Alex, all you have to do is like, you just have to hit you have to mog your son. You have to like mog him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
He's not going to respect you if you don't become a Chad. You know what I'm saying? You have to look smart.
I feel like he needs to get into this mewing shit sooner rather than later, because I'm still at an age where I can like both overpower him intellectually and physically. And that is both of those are going to be done soon.
Good thing we're teaching you new stuff on this podcast.
Yeah.
You're getting ready.
I cannot wait for in the future. Right. Like, this is like, I'm thinking far ahead. Right. Can you imagine getting like looks mogged by your grandpa? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Christmas.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you start talking about some like, oh, the sun is going to melt and blah, blah. Like, and then he just looks at you and like, you know, he what is that called? Like neuroport. He neuroports you a bye bye. And you hear it in your, you know what I'm saying? The song.
Then he hits the jawline.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're done, dude. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do to grandpa? Yeah.
Yeah, you're uninvited from future Christmas, dog. Like,
I found the original, I found the genesis of Coin Boys. It's from a Reddit post from r/teachers. I'll read it really quick. I'm in my 10th year of teaching, mostly freshmen. And I swear to God, ever since the pandemic, and honestly, probably 5 years before, there's always a new thing students bring to school that they've learned over the summer from the internet or wherever. The newest thing here is a flock of self-proclaimed coin boys who carry a quarter on hand at all times and constantly flip it. Now their entire personality revolve around coins, coin flips, and chants. We went around doing an icebreaker. Four or five of the kids said the same variation of "I live by the coin and I die by the coin" as their personal fact.
Hell yeah, dude. Someone over there's like, "Hold it," right? Someone watched No Country for Old Men and made that their whole personality.
So good.
I love the innovation of the current like online brain and what it can come up with. It's so incredible. Coin Boys.
Yeah, I think all the like accelerationist guys are wrong about like accelerating stuff like that. You know, like they talk about accelerating, like we got to make AI faster. No, we need brain rot faster. You know what I'm saying?
Good thing it's happening.
We need to accelerate brain rot. I think this is a good thing for society.
I think the first day I'm able to finally afford a house, what's going to happen is I'm going to be torn apart like one of the nobility in Game of Thrones by a bunch of coin boys.
They'll be stalking you.
Mm. Oh, my God. A lot of this culture that I'm seeing, like this like weird looks maxing like mogging culture, it's like downwind. You know what it is? It's downwind of incel culture.
Yeah.
Like of incels. But what's funny is that it's like repurposed, because like this is what incels can't have shit. And that's you know what I'm saying? Like, no, they can't. Anytime an
they'll never win.
They'll never win. Yeah, they're constantly innovating meme stuff, and like it makes it funnier, and then they believe it for real, and then they can't keep up with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they can't keep up with
their
own shit.
They create a monster that it's like funnier out of context of what they created it for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Wojax. Like Wojax were like originally like kind of race. Like they were all kind of like really esoteric and like kind of like a right wing thing. But now like everyone just kind of uses Wojax. That's just like the standard meme format.
The guy,
imagine like advocating the self-fulfilling prophecy where like you're never going to have sex, you're never going to be happy. All you have is this like parlance and community of other sickos online, and you're already this brain poisoned by like, you know, fucking 16 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And then everyone just takes the only thing that you have, which is meme parlance, and then makes fun of you with it. Like,
and then it kind of makes you relevant. Like now, like I started this looks maxing shit. You know what I'm saying?
I was the first kid in my school to look max.
Yeah. No,
I was the
no one
was, first yeah. coin boy. I was yeah. the first coin boy, bro. And these so people funny. Stole it from me.
Okay. Let's see here. We did say last week that we were going to revisit our starseed and telekinesis type friends on the internet. And we got like really responsive, a really good response on that. And it was very positive and people thought it was funny and it was interested. And a lot of people actually, more than I thought, knew about this, which was very fun for me to talk to people about my friends from the internet. But I did get a little bit of pushback saying that we might be a little too harsh on the star seeds and the telekinesis and levitation crowds. So what if I told you guys that there actually is a kernel of truth to all of this?
Is it real? Is it real the whole time? Are you like a low-key believer?
What if I told you that over 2.5 decades, the federal government spent tens of millions of dollars researching this?
Well, that would make perfect sense to me because
the U.S. government doesn't surprise me at all.
The U.S. government spends tons of money on dumb shit all the time.
I would have never like thought that. I would have never like first been like, oh, the government was involved in this. But now that you mention it, yeah, no. That makes so much sense.
So there is, you can collectively, all the documents that have been published by the CIA are under the name Stargate that you can find that was released under the Freedom of Information Request Act. This is like, we'll get into start to finish here, but you even if you don't believe in this stuff, which of course you don't, even if you don't want to read about this, although I think that you should, especially if you're like bored and not having sex, all this, these hundreds of pages of documents are available online. And frankly, they're fucking fascinating because they're like everything from managerial assessments to these reports to how they're spending the money to give to like various congressional subcommittees to like handwritten notes to people that are doing these projects of, you know, trying to interrupt random number generators to assess them or to like do telekinesis and move things. All this is just online and you can read about it. So I guess I'd start from the very beginning. Was this
the thing that they did after MK Ultra? They were like, okay, we're going to like, yeah, this is concurrent. We're going to like try to brainwash. Oh, there was concurrent. Okay.
It was concurrent.
Yeah, okay. It was concurrent. This is a different type of thing. Like this was like concurrent for sure, but this is like separate. This was the Stargate project. It went by a couple different names, Stargate. And then it was later called Operation Grill Flame, which is fucking sick, by the way.
Hell yeah.
But the first...
I would believe anything that has that name.
Operation Grill Flame? No, for real.
No, they fucked up by calling it Starseed.
Yeah. The first, very first example or memo that is publicly recorded is in 1948. And that was somebody speaking with a Soviet spy about the projects that they were doing where they were trying to have hypnotized people communicate long distance communication to one another. And so it was reported to, this is, I believe, pre-CIA, like, hey, the Russians are doing this. We should look into it.
The OSS
not a lot
original.
Of information, like up until about 1972, the CIA started doing remote viewing testing. And if you don't know what remote viewing is, it would be like, you know, long story short, they essentially try and like hook you to a machine and monitor your brain while you try and like view a room that you can't physically see to see if you can like pick up, like read a car. What card am I holding? Kind of shit like that. It's much more intense than that, but that's the gist of it. The CIA actually only ran this project until about 1977. And then they handed it over to the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is under the branch of the Department of Defense. And that's when they gave it the official name Stargate. And then it was later named to Operation Grove Flame. In the 90s, at some point, I don't remember what year it was, and my notes are a little loose. The DIA gives it back to CIA, who says, okay, we'll take a look at this, but we don't want to spend any money on this until we can essentially have a couple of independent scientists like evaluate what is the effectiveness versus how much we're spending on this. So I believe this one is on the CIA's website as well, but if not, you can always Google it because this is just public record. This is like how this all this stuff kind of came out in 95 was a report called An Evaluation of Remote Viewing. And that only talks about remote viewing. We'll talk about telekinesis in a separate document as well. But here are some quotes from that. Quote, a statistically significant laboratory effort has been demonstrated in the sense that hits occur more often than chance. It is unclear whether or not the observed effects can unambiguously be attributed to the paranormal ability of the remote viewers as opposed to characteristics of the judges or the target or some other characteristic of the methods used. Use of the same remote viewers, the same judge, and the same target photographs makes it impossible to identify their independent effects. However, evidence has been provided that clearly demonstrates that it that causes hits more often than not due to the operation potentially of paranormal phenomenon. The laboratory experiments have not, however, identified the origins or nature of the remote viewing phenomenon. Okay, so what they're saying there is essentially that this exists, and the amount of times that their viewers are hitting their targets is more often than just random chance, but they can't confirm or deny anything. However, in a separate report that you can also view on the CIA website called Parapsychology, the Signal Intelligence Communication Security Threat, has this to say about both remote viewing and telekinesis. Laboratory demonstrations have shown that gifted individuals using remote viewing can describe small details in a room to describe signal intelligence sight and particular types of antennae. These capabilities threaten to uncover covert sites and their targeting capabilities, collect individual types of written or printed signal intelligence information, uncover personnel identities and behavior in covert or supporting third-party signal intelligence operations, or determine messages or coded information. So,
holy shit. They were really going hard on this, huh?
Yeah.
They were.
It's like genuinely shocking to me that like one of the like most powerful arms of the most powerful governments in the world just like believed in like magical like nonsense, basically.
You know, not to veer the conversation too much, but you know, please, that all none of this stuff collapsed. It got turned into memetic warfare. So there's a division within the government, like not within the government, within the like Department of Defense and the CIA and Naval Intelligence, and their entire focus is on memetics, right? And like it's shifted, right? Like their idea is like trying to come up with what they call like psychological trigger words and stuff, like trigger images and things. Like finding.
So when you say memetics, you literally mean like the use of like memes or like
both
things.
Literal memes, but also like a semiotic approach. And it's like, it's weird because it's one of those sciences that is, there's psychological science involved in it, but there's also like more esoteric, like Jungian, you know, collective consciousness, you know what I'm saying? Like it's harder to really put a grasp on. And like a lot of the remote viewing stuff kind of turned, eventually it never went away. Like they never stopped doing those tests. They just changed how they were doing those tests. They were essentially trying to like track semiotic images and like, what is a root image? Like, what is a thing that someone can see and have like an actual genuine reaction to, and then how do you harness that reaction and weaponize that reaction? And like, I was looking it up while you guys were talking. I can't find where I used to be in this Discord that was crazy good. Shout out to what is the Intergalactic Railroad? They're a defunct podcast, but they had a whole episode about how this changed from like how they went, how memetics is essentially. It's this memetic warfare is essentially like esoteric, like it's
like it's happening in front of us, but we don't even know it, sort of thing. Is that what you mean?
Not even that. It's more. It has more to do with like how it's gobbledygook. It's mumbo jumbo. It's you know what I'm saying. But it's real, but it's not. It's hard to. It's in this weird hyperstitious gray area where like it doesn't exist yet, but it will exist, right? And like remote viewing. Is kind of it all stems from this. Well, like if you really want to go back, like the Starseed stuff, all that stems, the Soviets, that Soviet cross chatter that they heard was a disinformation campaign from the Soviets that they admitted, hey, yeah, we were lying to the OSS. We wanted these while we were like trying to figure out how to put people on the moon, they were trying to figure out like is science real? You know what I mean? Right. But like, and that kind of comes from like the original Nazis. They had like an occult division, and they had an occult division because of the Volkish. And like there was like a whole religion that existed that was like, I don't know. You look at like societies, right? And you see like the decline and like if you look at like how fascist they are or how like exclusive they are, meaning like they don't have an inclusive like social, it's kind of like there's social rigidity in there. There's almost always like money being spent on bullshit, right? Like some, you know what I'm saying? Like some kind of I don't know, not to poo-poo on remote viewing and all that stuff, because I'm sure that, you know, it's the, what is it, the clock right twice a day type thing, right? Where people are just kind of accidentally getting the shit right, right? But I definitely think that, like, you look at it, none of this stuff goes away. It just gets morphed and turned into, like, bigger projects. Like, a lot. I don't know. I can view.
I mean,
about
they're still
shit.
What you're saying is they're still spending money doing this bullshit, just in a different, under a different name, in a different way.
Yeah, in a different way. Yeah, exactly. Like the money didn't go away. The money for
This isn't like a part of my notes or anything like that, but just as somebody who kind of got weirdly obsessed with all this stuff because I had nothing better to do at the early parts of COVID, when everyone's like reality was kind of shattering anyway. It's Robert Monroe was the lead scientist that was doing a lot of this remote viewing stuff. And like, you could just read his books, like the Monroe Institute and like the methods that they use to like induce like remote viewing. It's essentially just like, lucid dreaming. That's what it is. That's it. That's it. And that's all. So, you know, when you lucid dream, you're essentially awake for a dream and you see some wacky shit. And like, you know, there are all these reports of people saying, well, I saw, you know, different alien races and this and that. Well, I mean, yeah, man, like you're inducing a unnatural state of dreaming. You're going to see some wild shit. And like, that's kind of what that is, seems to me. But like all that information is definitely still out there. However, to our telekinesis friends, that same report did say, this is another quote, laboratory demonstrations have shown that gifted individuals using telekinetic abilities can alter the state of objects or change electrical or magnetic fields. Capabilities threaten to cause malfunctions in critical ADP circuits, cause communication equipment to malfunction, prevent automatic electronic cures to malfunction, and so on. It goes on to
what were they seeing? What were they talking about? There's no.
Well, this is telekinesis. They had these like. essentially, what they did is they had like a random number generator, a doodad that would just generate random numbers, and then like they would do things like they'd. Is it called a Geiger counter? Is that what it's called?
The radiation thing.
They would hook people's brains up to these things and like count as the number would apparently increase while they were like focusing on trying to stop this random number generator. And again, from one of the reports that I said, more often than like chance would indicate, they would be able to stop these things and cause some sort of, not to get Joe Rogan on this, because I'm sure these studies were very flawed. And to be fair, like a lot of this, I'm sure, was probably also just being used to justify more money in the budget, right? So, but these reports do exist and they are out there for anybody to view. And I encourage you to do that. Actually, I'll link it in my notes too. I think I already did. But it's just called Project Stargate. It's like cia.gov/reading/Stargate. Like it's all there.
That's incredible. I love just the psychotic shit the U.S. government has had its hands in, like at every stage, every
that's
step of the way.
So bonkers, dude.
So this is all to say that like people who are selling these courses are really easily able to say now, oh, well, the CIA thinks this is real. The U.S. Army was doing this. Of course it's real. It's like the North Star for these people. That was the whole reason I was kind of getting into that, because now there is like a basis of truth to it, when really, I mean, you know, there's a million different ways to pick apart Stargate, and I don't think that we need to spend a lot of time on that, because I think we can all agree that, you know, telekinesis is not real. Or can we go around the room?
I don't know. You tell me anything on here. If you guys tell me anything, I just start to believe it. So I'm like, you guys gotta, at the end of this episode, you better do a real good job.
I don't know if you guys looked in the notes, but your charts are in there if you want to look at them.
Oh, I didn't take a look yet. I need to see my charts so bad.
So again, all that is to say, that is why these people believe it. And that ties in heavily to, kind of the starseed and indigo types that we were talking about last week.
So it's basically all rooted like these people. So do you think these people would just be out here anyways, but because the CIA and FBI and whoever like has all this research, it kind of like bolstered,
I mean, it makes it a lot easier. Just frankly believe that these people would believe this shit irrespective of this data existing or whatever.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you really look into, like, if you really critique what this information is, there's like, it actually doesn't make a very compelling case for any of this to exist. And frankly, that's why the CIA stopped funding this allegedly. I still think they're doing it in different ways, but you know, it's not really a compelling case.
The main purpose is they helped create like a certain type of psychotic person that exists in the real world now. So they accomplished their goal is really the only thing that matters.
And there was a lot of like a lot of the people that were like kind of overseeing, not the whole thing, but overseeing certain aspects of this were actually like new age type of like parapsychologists and whatever weirdo quacks that were like involved with this, like Robert Monroe as one of them for the remote viewing stuff. But like the report that I mentioned before was like one of the people that made that report, that the CIA was like, this person has to be on the board. There's a couple people, there's this new age parapsychologist has to be like, this person has to be on the committee to like determine whether or not we're going to fund this. So they were working really hand in hand with a lot of these same people that were kind of creating like this new age movement of like the, not directly Indigo Children, because that was its own thing that we talked about last week, but the same people that were creating this new kind of milieu of new age movements and beliefs were working directly with the government at this point.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Like I wasn't really quite able to like elucidate what I was trying to get at, but like,
listen, man, if you say Jungian, I'm checked out. I'm too stupid for that.
Okay, what I was getting at is that, like, if you don't think for a minute that like the U.S. government has a direct, like, they have a stake in the kind of like New Age, because New Age all comes from that like Germanic Volkish, where Nazism comes from, mm-hmm. right? Like this, it's like an
like
ultra
the occult practices that that they were doing under like in Nazi Germany, sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a it comes from this idea that like there's a supremacy involved here, that we are from nature and stuff, and we were born good and we should be made to reflect. There's a lot of like the eugenics. You know what I'm saying?
That
and,
makes sense with these races that that exist in the starseed, the starseed races.
Yeah. So the idea that if you don't think that there is a like what I meant by what I was trying to get at with like the mimetic warfare, if you don't think for a second that they realize this shit isn't worth funding in the sense that like making these guys like none of this is real. But if we convinced people that it was real, or had some people give credence to the fact that it could be real, we could potentially create our own kind of movement of like, you know, this Volkish movement. And if the need rises, we needed to build something, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, I think about that often. And like,
well, you see that a lot, like the kind of the new age right wing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's been around for quite a while, like it really came to prominence like during, well, even before. I was going to say COVID was a big one, but like
2016
stuff. A lot of those people.
That guy's vegan. He's like a meat vegan where like he only eats meat, but like a specific kind of meat. It's weird. That guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, but anyways, but if you think about it though, like the reality of, I don't know, this is what pisses me off about the new like right wing movement of like people who believe in like spirits and shit like that. None of them believe in like werewolves and vampires, and that's the cool shit.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Like people,
they don't know how to have fun.
Yeah, none of those guys who are like, you know, like in a Mormon cult beating their kids or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? To like, you know, to appease a spirit or something. I don't know, whatever they do, right? Or like they only eat grass or whatever it is that they eat, right? Like, they're doing that shit, and it's all
they avoid like seed oils and stuff.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, but not
don't touch receipts.
But people, like, you know, you say that stuff and it's normal. People are like, oh yeah, that's fine. But if you go up to somebody and be like, I believe with all of my chest that I am a werewolf, people, you know what I'm saying? People will be like, get the fuck out of here, dude. But a guy tells you, you know, oh yeah, I can move coins with my mind. You're like, oh, this guy might be spitting. But another guy tells
dude, I don't know if you heard our last week's episode, Marcos, but like so the people that we were like, just the small sample that we brought, like tens of thousands of likes and subscribers to this random sampling of maniacs. Yeah. Like it's a thing.
They consume every day.
Yeah. I've been telling people like off rip for real that I am a vampire, right? Like just because it feels fun. It's just, it's not true. There's no way I'm not drinking blood, but like, nah. If those guys can get away with saying shit like that, but I can't get away with saying, no, I'm a vampire. No, I like the sun though, but I'm a vampire. Hey, I'm on my vamp shit for real. You know what I'm saying? You don't like, it doesn't make any sense.
Nothing matters. Nothing matters anymore. Just say shit. Genuinely.
I want more people to just come out as vampires and werewolves and zombies. Like if someone were on, if like Elon Musk were to be like, yeah, I'm a zombie. You know what I'm saying? Like that would kind of rock. You know, like, it's just, I'm so mad at the culture right now. What are we doing?
I think we need to embrace the starseed and its different races.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you guys mentioned that, because one of the things that we talked about last week was, what if I took a course? And I was looking into like a levitation course or like a telekinesis course. Those are very expensive, first of all, hundreds up to over $1,000 for most of these. And I'm thinking,
just a tip for everyone, if you want to make it big, learn how to levitate and then run these classes.
The very funny too, because I was looking into like, so I've shopped extensively, and it's like all of them are basically like warming you up with, just a heads up, this might cost $1,100, but it could take 20 years before you see results. So don't complain.
That's so beast mode. It
takes a lifetime. Yeah, it's very, very beast mode. So I decided instead to find something that I thought was more reasonable. So I spent $99, and I am now officially a licensed starseed astrologist.
Fuck shit. Resident starseed.
Yeah, a lot of people last week really thought it was funny that the whole find out what JRPG class we all are. So now that I'm certified, I had the crew send me their birthdays, and I have read their charts and I've put them in their notes. But before we get to that, I'm going to read the different races and what the stats are.
The stats.
At least according to... I can't remember this. So again, like I've said this before, like last week, there's no orthodoxy to any of this. So the information that I'm getting is like only as good as the person that I got it from. There's no tradition to this. So like any of these other starseed astrology types, like for instance, I tried to use a third party chart to like, to make these, charts for you guys. And it's like, wait, this doesn't line up at all with what I learned. So just take it with a grain of salt. So we're still figuring this out. All of us are freestyling. This is like the jazz of religion. We're all just improvising.
There's different orthodoxies under the starseed banner. Yeah, it'll come together.
We're going to start our own Western Kabuki orthodoxy of starseeds. Based on the information that I paid $99 for.
Led by our certified starseedologist, Caleb.
Okay. There are five main races of starseeds and then two related races that are not starseeds, and they're potentially adversarial races to the starseeds. So there are Lyran, Palladian, Andromedan, Arcturian, and Sirian races. The Lyran starseeds are believed to originate from the Lyran constellation, which is said to be the birthplace of all humanity. Lyra starseeds are known for the deep sense of compassion and empathy. They are highly intuitive and often have a strong connection to nature and animals. The Palladian starseeds come from the Palladian star cluster, one of the closest star systems to Earth. Palladian starseeds are known for their advanced spiritual and psychic abilities. They are compassionate, gentle, have a strong sense of desire to help others, and more.
Okay.
The Andromedan starseeds originate from the Andromeda galaxy, which is located 2.5 million light years away from Earth. $99 well spent for this, by the way. Andromedan starseeds are known for their adventurous and independent nature. By the way, every characteristic, every one of these says they're independent.
Yeah, dog, you spent $100. Better say some cool, nice shit about you.
You're so independent, you spent $100 on this. And they're highly creative and have a deep desire to explore new possibilities. The Arcturian starseeds come from Arcturus star system, which is the most advanced civilization in our galaxy. Arcturian starseeds are known for their high levels of intellect and spiritual wisdom. They're often seen as teachers and healers, guiding others towards higher levels of consciousness. Okay. And finally, the Sirian starseeds originate from the Sirius star system, one of the brightest stars in the night sky. Sirian starseeds are known for their strong intuition and psychic abilities. Weird. They all are known for their psychic abilities, it turns out. They're natural leaders, just like the other ones, and have a deep connection to spirituality and ancient wisdom. Okay. There are also two other kinds of races that you need to be aware of and possibly
discriminate against them, basically. Mm-hmm. They're the evil ones.
These are the races. These are the intergalactic races that it's okay to be racist against. And that is the reptilians, who most of our politicians, according to some, are shapeshifters who cruise different planets and can take on any form for selfish purposes. Oh. And then there are draconians, who are power hungry and need to control others. They come from the fruition of negative collective energy. So those don't exist on the chart. They're just, I guess, you know, again, space racism, whatever.
You can't be those, of course. You don't want to be the bad guys.
You don't.
I'm kind of mad. Bro, I can't get Anunnaki, dude. That's, you know, that's what I was looking forward to, man. I know it in my heart. I'm an Anunnaki for real.
I like how, like, with the Arcturian one, where it's like, oh, it's the most advanced civilization in our galaxy. Is it? How do you...
based on how blood,
can I talk to these people, bro? Where are they, not one
reptilian, no Nords, no Bosmer, you know what I'm saying, bro?
So the Arnonians. Arcturians are actually thought to be the Nords, by the way, if you know, like, Nordic aliens.
Of course.
Okay, never mind. All right, yeah.
Which, speaking of Arcturians, Alex, your starseed chart, you are an Arcturian. You are the apex. New Age Space Aryan.
No, I was really excited for a second when you told me the apex, and then you told me that I was a New Age Space Aryan, and suddenly the shine came right off of it, you know?
Yaku broke the mold when he made you, dog.
He was cooking.
Yeah, he was
the best cooking. Part about this is, I got some of these extra descriptions from a website, The Spirit Nomad, and I watched a lot of her content for this. It's very funny. She's just the best, greatest. Go give her a follow if you hate spending time doing things that matter. She says Arcturian starseeds are sometimes susceptible to having low blood pressure.
That's crazy.
According to what? Like, these are the most advanced ones, but they have low blood pressure, and they're also sensitive to the cold and feel the cold more than others, which makes them more likely to settle in warmer climates. Is that true for you, Alex?
No comment.
I like how the immediate first thing that's said about the Arcturians is just like multiple downsides.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be the best, but I think honestly the Spirit Nomad has like, it wants to be an Arcturian and she's not. So she like has
she's
to
petty.
Shit talk.
She's yeah, petty, of course.
She's petty. Next up, I skipped the Orion chart on the original. That's okay. So there's also the Orions, which apparently I missed in my previous description, which I am an Orion starseed.
Oh, but yeah, congrats.
unfortunately, my power is the most diminished of all of ours, because if you're looking on the charts here, my planetary signs are the most spread apart. And if you have a higher concentration of planetary signs in one region, that makes you more powerful.
So you're all over the place.
Yeah, apparently I am logical, not true. Task-oriented, very not true. Struggles with the relationships, yeah, I'll give him that one. Needs to be alone a lot, no, I hate being alone. Entrepreneurial tendencies, no. Egotistical, maybe a little. I do have a podcast. last is the Lyran. For June, you are a Lyran.
Oh, hell again, yeah.
You have a super concentrated, it's all basically all in one half and all up in one quadrant, basically. So if I knew anything about normal astrology, I'd be able to tell you more about that, but I don't. so sorry, but you are adventurous and not fearful of the unknown. You come across sometimes, unfortunately, as too serious to others.
Oh, which, no.
As I've known from you, is very true. You're a very serious person.
Not
you sense an underlying truth in art and have an affinity towards cats.
I think that describes me to a T. Like, this is, I'm just going to make this my personality. Like, even if it's like slightly off, I'm just going to like, I'm starting a new job or something. They're like, oh, tell us about you. I'll be like, I'm a Lyrian, by the way. Like, I'll just read this. I'll like print this off and just show this to them. Be like, yep, this is all you need to know about me.
Yeah. I'm a Lyrian coin boy.
Live by the coin, die by the coin.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcos, I never got the location for yours, and don't say it online. What I put in there, because I just guessed that you're where you live currently is where you're born
and
thereabouts.
It's literally. And then
you are also Lyran.
Oh, sick.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a sick brother.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'm actually going to put Lyran down. I'm going to put Lyran down as like, for like a disability, for like why like why I can't walk my 12-mile route. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, dog, I need like a 4-mile route. I need like a solid 4 hours a day. I'm a Lyrian, dude. It's not, you know what I'm saying?
You know, no, yeah, you say any of these to anyone, be like, dude, I'm a Pleiadian, and everyone's gonna be like, oh dude, I'm sorry.
Oh man, my bad. Oh, shit. I didn't know you were living that rough, dude.
Yeah, I think I got the biggest bum deal, because I'm Orion, which is, I completely forgot to put them in my first part, gives a shit. They're like kind of Spocky, and shit is all spread out everywhere. It doesn't make any sense.
So they're just like the logical, they're the like literal, the Vulcans from like Star Trek. That's like the biggest kind of corollary. The Vulcans.
Okay. Yeah. And which, by the way, if you are, I'm going to offer this. If you are a Patreon subscriber, go to the Patreon chat and tag me, and I will give you your reading. And then with that information,
what an offer.
Yeah,
what an offer. Y'all got to start signing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, $29.99, bargain deal. And then all of these different starseed groups have multiple Facebook groups. So if we want to see what the Lyrans are up to, Lyran Starseed Group. Oh, I should have prepared this part before, but I was just looking at them and they're all the same. All these people just post the same like Trump 2020
trash
memes.
Oh, no way. They're conservatives. They're like weird conservatives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There's no way there wasn't. The moment you start bringing racism into space, it's almost opposite. It's almost like, there's no way around that, dog. Like, that's.
Yeah, there's an Aryan space race.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously. No, I should have assumed.
Fuck, I can't get in. It's private. But there's a Lyran memes group on Facebook. I'm going to join it anyway.
I need to see the Lyran memes.
Oh, my God.
Those are my people in there. I need to get in there.
It's like Lyrian people drive like this and Aryan people drive like this.
there's a starseed Jerry Seinfeld in there.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I love these people so much. Oh, my God. Next. Okay. You know what? I'm going to dump the $1,000. I'm going to levitate. I'm gonna spend 20 years learning how to levitate.
June, with how concentrated your chart is, I think you could do it in 7 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. This is the greatest day of my life. I'm going to join all the Facebook groups. I'm going to become one of these people. You're going to see me in the Facebook groups. I'm going to be posting about Trump.
Hell yeah.
Get ready.
I do. They try, like a lot of them try really hard to like, let's not be overly political, but they're all just like very
absolutely
obviously conservative.
Caleb,
the majority.
I'm really excited to see you put your degree in starseedology to use for everyone in the Patreon that wants
to
sign.
My parents are finally proud of me because I didn't really get the response I wanted to from them when I got my bachelor's degree. And I think now maybe, you know, my dad will play catch with me again and we'll see.
This could potentially be the greatest thing you've ever done.
Again, free readings to Patreon subscribers in the Discord. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, well, it's $29.99. Frankly, that's a steal. I will do your reading. You also have to give me a lot of personally identifiable information. You can trust me. I was vetted by the Spirit Nomad herself.
Yeah. Caleb asked us for our social security numbers right before this.
You might need that.
Still don't really know why. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, your social security number, if you believe in numerology, which is very important, you do need to provide your social security.
Yeah. There could be some signs in there. Mm-hmm. You don't know yet.
And your banking information. That's the most. Right.
Okay. Oh, my God. I think that's probably a good place to wrap it. We do have another episode we got to record here tonight. So, Marcus, what do you want to plug?
Oh, okay. So, listen, if you want to learn how to levitate for a dollar and or more, right?
Listen,
you could go to patreon.com/thehomiecollective and I will teach you to levitate. It will take maybe 75 years, right? But... right, it's a dollar. What do you, you know what I'm saying? A dollar, you can't beat that. You cannot beat a dollar a month. And then
that's a deal.
You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, I'll also teach you how to looks max and how to totally like, you know, like new mog your mom every time she yells at you. Like, dog, I'm teaching you things you wouldn't even believe. You know what I'm saying?
Just levitating with the Chad jaw.
Yeah,
line.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, and then also one more thing before I go. I was recently guesting on a pod. My good friend Janie Danger and Carmen run called Beauty Translated. They're on iHeartRadio, but they're found anywhere you can go. It's a fun podcast. Janie is one of the funniest people on earth.
Janie's awesome.
Janie is such a homie. Yeah. I think June and I, we got invited. We haven't set that up yet. June and I are going to be on that show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. They are hilarious. Janie is hilarious. So if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. Go subscribe to Janie Danger. She's got music. She's like super duper talented. So
yeah, you know, one of the funniest people I've seen online, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it. Thanks, Marcos. We'll see you guys next week.
Right. See ya.
That's it for the main feed episode of Western Kabuki, but that is far from all we've got this week. On the Patreon, we are talking to Taylor Lorenz about her recent interview with Haya Rychik, the founder of Libs of TikTok. There are a lot of bizarre behind-the-scenes stories that I don't think anyone has told yet that Taylor tells us on this episode. It's really fascinating. It was a very fun interview. You should check it out. The Patreon is patreon.com/westernkabuki. Okay, thanks.